Welcome to lesson 30, creating your preliminary budget. We've reached the point where it's time to start doing more of the financial tasks in your business. That means looking at the money coming in, going out, and making projections about what the future holds. When you're first starting out, financial projections can feel a lot like consulting a magic eight ball for guidance because it's hard to know what's going to happen in the future. Until you've discovered the natural cycles and rhythms of your business, you're basically throwing spaghetti at the wall with no idea of what's going to stick. So, if you are in your first year of business, be compassionate with yourself and recognize that your projections will have a higher degree of error than after you've been in business for a while. I can project with reasonable certainty what my income will look like for the next 3 to 6 months on a rolling basis. Part of that is because my incubator clients sign year-long contracts, so I can be fairly sure they're gonna stick around for a year. Same with my membership program, A Club. People don't typically join 1 month and then leave the next. Average enrollment for A Club is well over 2 years, but I only know that because we've been running the community for years and have the data to back it up. That's why we're starting now to do this work, instead of when you first started the apprenticeship. If you've been making offers and sharing your copy with your audience, you're probably seeing some patterns in your business. Times when things are busier than others. Times when things are easier to sell. Times when money is tight and sales are slim. As you notice those patterns, you'll be better able to predict or project what your income and outgo are going to look like. The easiest and simplest way to begin doing this is to track your money in and money out each month in your business. Make a list of the things that you pay annually, like insurance or annual subscriptions, and divide those costs by 12 to figure out your monthly contribution, the amount of money that your business needs to be setting aside each month to cover those monthly expenses. Then make a list of anything that you pay twice a year and divide that payment by 6. Do the same for any quarterly expenses. Make a list, divide by 3, because that's the number of months included in each payment. Then add those monthly contributions all up so that you have a total for your monthly expenses. Now, lastly, are there any things that you're not spending money on right now that you know you'll be investing in the next year or that you want to invest in? Tally up those costs and find the monthly average. Maybe you've got new software you want to invest in, or you want to start investing in advertising, any of those things. Okay, so now add it all together to get your total monthly nut. That's the total current average monthly expenses of your company to squirrel away. That's why they call it the nut. Weird, I know, but there you are. So that's a great starting point for being able to project your monthly outgo. Recognize that because sometimes you won't be paying those quarterly or annual bills in a given month, that you'll appear to have extra money sitting in your business account during the year until you make those payments. Now, that's not free money that you just spend on whatever. That money's already been allocated. It's already spent in the future. So it needs to stay in the business until it's time to be spent. That way you're not scrambling to figure out how to pay those annual bills in the month that they come due. So you've done this with your expenses. Now it's time to do the same thing with your income. What money only comes in once a year? Do you do a program launch or a special annual promotion during the holidays? How much money typically comes in at that time? If you've done this before, just use last year's numbers. If you're not sure because you've never done it before, then make a conservative guess. We'll talk more about guessing in a bit, but for now, just use your best guess and then we will refine it as we go. So you're going to take those once a year sales, divide that number by 12 to get the average monthly income from those annual sales. Then do the same thing for anything that comes in semi-annually or quarterly. Just like we did for expenses, we need to figure out the monthly numbers for any of your other irregular income. And irregular just means it doesn't come in on a monthly basis. It could come in sporadically during the year. So for me, that would be folks who pay quarterly for their coaching packages instead of monthly or annually. And then I divide that up and I get a monthly number. Once you have your monthly numbers, you want to add them up to find your total monthly average income. Okay, just like you've got your monthly expenses, you've got your average income. So now we get to dream a little. Okay, where do you want to see money coming in? What new projects or programs do you want to be making money from that you aren't currently? How much money do you expect to see from those things in the next year? Since you don't know where or when that money is going to fall on the calendar, you can't do it on a monthly or semi-annual basis. You just have to take the total amount of money that you think you are going to generate and then divide that down by 12 to find the monthly income number. And then you're going to add that to the total monthly income that you've already got as a baseline. Okay? Congratulations, that's it. Especially if you're a chaotic creative, this could be the first time that you've ever sat down to run these numbers. So great job. And we're not done yet. This is a great place to start though, because it's going to give you a glimpse, a quick snapshot of whether or not you're bringing in more money than you're spending. This is the start of a profit and loss statement. In the world of finance, a P&L, a profit and loss statement, is a deeper look at where your money is coming from and going to on a line item basis. But for somebody just getting started, you probably don't need that much detail yet, especially if you're not sharing your financial statements with anybody else. If it's just you, this average monthly snapshot can be all you need when you're just getting started. Because the most important thing to know is whether or not your business is bringing in enough money on a regular basis to be profitable. If your expenses are consistently higher than your income, you've got a gap you need to cover and your business is running in a loss. That's why it's called a profit and loss statement, because it shows you wherever you're at. Now, when you're ready to get more granular, Linears, this is for you, go ahead and set up a formal profit and loss statement or even a pro forma, which allows you to project different financial scenarios into the future. We've got a couple of samples in the bonus resources that you can look at. A profit and loss will show line items for each entry in your chart of accounts. That's an accounting term that describes the different standardized categories of income or expenses that are used for tax purposes. So if you look at the US tax form, you're going to see line items in your tax form for things like marketing or advertising or expenses or supplies or those kinds of things. So in your chart of accounts, you're going to have a line item for budget marketing, budget accounting costs, budget advertising costs, like every line item, you break out your expenses by category. Okay. We don't need to go that deep if we're just getting started with this, but at some point you're going to need to, because you need to see specifically where is the money going, in what category. Are we spending too much on ads? Or are we not spending enough, right? You can't know that from this snowball number, but the snowball number is better than nothing. When you're ready to start doing these more complicated, deeper dives into your finances, pulling up and creating an actual profit and loss statement is going to be your best bet. From here, we need to add a dose of reality, especially if you are guessing or guesstimating on things that have yet to come. If you were expecting to pull in six figures from a $100 product launch, you better have the data to back that up. Otherwise, if it's a brand new offering, I estimate with a very conservative 1-2% of your current engaged audience. Now, hear those words, current engaged audience. So if you've got an email list of 1,000 people, then at most you're expecting 10-20 people to buy from you. And that's assuming everybody on that list is engaged with you. Maybe you'll do better than that, and maybe you won't, but you don't know because you don't have the numbers to back it up. So use industry averages based on your engaged audience. Now, I say engaged audience, not your total follower count, especially if you are relying on your social media following instead of an email list. Check your engagement rates on your social media platforms, and you'll probably find that between 2-10% of your audience actually engages with your content. In that case, if you've got 1,000 followers, then at most 100 of them are actually engaged, which means that only 1-2% of that engaged audience is likely to buy from you. So only 1-2 people instead of 10-20 people. When it comes to financial projections, underestimating future income and overestimating future expenses is usually your best bet, because it's not fun to do worst case scenario projections, but it helps you make a better plan for future growth. Better to have bad numbers and have them turn out better than to have pie in the sky numbers based on fantasies that don't come true and then your world comes crashing down on you. You need to be willing to break away from your fantasy of a perfect launch long enough to look at the reality of what happens if your best case scenario doesn't work out. And a lot of times it doesn't work out. Remember, plans change. We all want to have six or seven figure success stories, but we also need to be willing to start where we are with what we have in order to grow. Now, the good news is that you've already done the hardest part. And now that you know how to do this, you can do it anytime to get clarity on what's happening in your business. Take those numbers, divide them up to find the monthly averages, and then compare income and expenses to see where you're at. Now, the bad news is that you're not gonna run with this number for a whole year. What? You just told me to set this up for 12 months. Yeah, I know. And it's a rolling 12 months. Because the bad news, okay, is that things change all the time. The pandemic of 2020 left a lot of people course correcting and pivoting in order to bring their businesses online so that they could keep generating income. If you started the year with a projection and tried to keep running with that same number through 2020, you'd probably stress yourself out, cry, have a nervous breakdown, or just quit. So we have to come back to this number every quarter and look 12 months out. So we do it today, and then 3 months later, we do it for 12 months from that date. And then 3 months after that, we do it for 12 months from that date. So it's always on a 12-month rolling basis, and we calculate this number quarterly. It's not hard. It's 20 minutes once every 3 months. I think you can handle this, and it's very important to your business, okay? And it's not just about checking the number. It's about looking at the trend, okay? What's your total monthly income for the next year? Is it higher or lower since last quarter when we did this? Okay. What's the trend? If you're trending down on income and up on expenses, it might be necessary to review your expenses and see where you can either cut things or find better, more affordable options. Opportunity costs. You only have so much money that you can invest. So where are you going to get the most bang for your buck? And to be clear on this, it's not always about spending less. Sometimes you need to look at where you can invest more to save time. We've talked about delegation before, so it's important that we revisit it here before you start cutting all these expenses instead of finding ways to get the best return on all of your resources. We're talking about your time, your energy, your money, your effort, and your attention. Money is only one small piece of the equation, but it's the one that most people think of first, okay? One quarter, I made the decision to hire an assistant to free up my time so that I could do other things to create more income. And it was a scary decision because the income was trending downward. I was losing income month over month and my expenses were going up and it was like, well, maybe I should cut some expenses. But as I looked at things, okay, when I looked closer, the reason we were making less money was because I was too busy inside the business to do the work that only I could do to make the company more profitable. I had strayed from my zone of genius, so I needed to free up my time resource. And the only way I could free up my time resource was to invest in someone else picking up the slack on that time commitment. So I invested in hiring someone else to do that work so I could get back to my zone of genius, and our revenue picked up and I was able to keep my assistant on board and afford her easily because I had new revenue coming in to support that expense. So when you look at this preliminary profit and loss statement, you're only looking at the return on your money investment. And that's important because most of the time, as I mentioned a minute ago, that's the thing that everybody's looking at. What's your bottom line number? Is it a profit or is it a loss? Are you making money or are you losing money? In corporate America, that bottom line number is all people care about, especially shareholders. We want to make sure that our business is making money so that we can get paid money. But here's the thing. It's not the only consideration. Yeah, it's important because if you run in the red too long, your company's going to crumble. But it's not the only consideration. Both Denise Duffield Thomas and Leonie Dawson are two multi-million dollar creative entrepreneurs who decided to scale back their very profitable businesses because it was too much effort. It was making plenty of money. The bottom line looked really good, but at what cost? To their health and their well-being, to their time, to the other things that were important to them. That's what we need to be thinking about as creative entrepreneurs. It's not just about the money. Money's good, don't get me wrong. And money is not the only thing. I'm going to share links to some resources in the bonus resources section to tell you a little bit more about these two women. But just to give you a rundown, Denise decided to scale back her offerings. She had lots of different things that she was offering. And so she decided she wasn't going to do that. She was going to focus in and create revenue through affiliate promotions where other people do the work of selling for her. So that meant more of her money was going to be going out to pay these affiliates, right? Now, the company generated less revenue, but it increased their profit margin because they were focused on one offer for the entire year. And it freed up Denise to write a new book, spend more time with her family at the rose farm that they'd bought a year earlier. So it wasn't just about the money, it was about what the time freedom would do, what the energetic freedom would do, what the not doing as much work and effort would do for Denise, for her family, for the business. Okay? Still making millions of dollars, just doing it in a much easier way. In fact, the book she wrote was called Chillpreneur because she was talking about taking a chilled approach to making your millions of dollars. Now, Leonie had so many products and programs. She had built an academy with all of her online learning and everything. And she had hundreds of thousands of people in these programs. And she had so many products and programs that it was draining her physically and emotionally. And she is on the neuroatypical spectrum. I think it's Asperger's, but I'm not sure. And so she has her own mental health issues and her own self-care needs that she needs to tend to that are not typical for most entrepreneurs. Plus she's got family and she has a life that she wants to live, right? So she has to be very protective of her time and her energy resources. If she doesn't have a spoon, she can't get the work done. And a good part of why people come to her is because of her creative output, the things that she's creating. So she too decided to scale back her offerings, but she doubled down on her best-selling product, which were her annual planners. And she used to have multiple distribution outlets for different countries and continents, but she changed her mind and decided to focus on having one vendor provider. So she found new ways to distribute these offerings that were less profitable for her international orders, meaning somebody overseas would have to pay a little more to have them shipped, and she would have to pay a little more to have them shipped. But it freed up so much of her time because it made it so much easier for her to manage the business because there was one point of contact for all the shipping. She didn't have to reach out to multiple countries and multiple offices and multiple file format setups and all that. One printer, one delivery company, all the orders go through one source. Made her life infinitely easier. Still a very profitable business, but also more freeing for her to be focused on what really mattered to her in the long run. Her health, and her family. Growth for growth's sake is a losing proposition. At some point, you're gonna be dissatisfied in the other areas, time, energy, effort, attention. It's not just money, remember? Because your total return on resources isn't worth it anymore, okay? Your profit and loss, your P&L, is a starting place, but it's not the ending place if you're building a profitable and sustainable business doing what you love. So just keep that in mind. This is a financial lesson, okay? This session, this module is financial lesson. But I hope that you know by now that for me, it's always about more than just the money, okay? Money's great and we want to have a life and be able to enjoy it. So when you look at your financial projections, what's coming up for you? Does it feel doable or misleading? Here's where you get to add your dose of reality to your numbers. And look for things you need to do in the next quarter to improve those numbers. Now, don't think you're going to wave a magic wand and just fix everything automatically and instantly. That's not how this works. Small tweaks over time add up, okay? And I've been saying that from the beginning of this program. Do one thing, let it ride for 30 days, make a note of it, then make your next plan. Plan, do, evaluate. Plan, do, evaluate. That's what we're doing through this whole course, all right? So, what comes up for you when you look at your financial projections? Okay. What are the things that are going to help you stay focused on what really matters to you? Those are the things that we want to look at improving. Okay. And it's not always profit. That's your assignment. Complete your financial projection for the next 12 months and see where your gaps are. Begin to brainstorm ways to remedy those gaps. Sometimes it's about spending more. Sometimes it's about spending less. Whether it's time, energy, money, effort, or attention. Spending doesn't have to always be cash, right? So keep your financial statement in front of you whenever you're working on your business. Remember, it's only two numbers, average monthly income, average monthly expenses. Then at the end of the quarter, run the numbers again. Get used to these numbers and tracking your trends because they're the pulse of your business. They help you know what's happening and what may be happening in the near future if everything stays on the current course. Every corporation, every professional organization, every real business runs quarterly reports. This is the bare minimum that you need to be doing to be ruthlessly honest about the profitability and sustainability of your business. In our next lesson, we're going to take these projection skills that you've been building and apply them to the other areas of your business. And I promise it won't be this hard. I will see you there.